Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to church. This is not what we expected. Well, we expected to be worshipping God today, but this was not exactly how we planned to meet today out here. And so I'm glad you're here anyway. We made the decision to meet out here so we could be more spaced out and have that distance a little bit easier in this space. There were also a few hitches with carpet cleaning and some electrical work moving into our worship center. So we don't really have a plan as of even tomorrow, so we'll see how we go. But the important thing is we're here, we're gathered together, and we're here to praise God. So thanks for being here. Let me remind you of our COVID requirements. We're very blessed that we are a little bit further away from the hotspot and from the ensuing trouble. And we trust in God that all will be well. So just as a reminder that these are the things that we require, social distancing. And you're sitting in a space with other people. If that's an issue and you need to move somewhere else or whatever. But that's why we put the tables like this. Please refrain from hugging and handshakes. We know that that's a difficult thing. Our team is still going to serve morning tea, but let our team serve that to you rather than helping yourself there. Wash and dry your hands if you need to, as you need. And if you have a sneeze or a cough, pop them to your elbow. Then don't wipe your elbow on people. There's some interesting things people saying about, oh, I coughed into my elbow and then I elbow bumped people. Just, you know what? We're all pretty much grown-ups. Amani's the only person that is the exception to that rule, and Jeremy. So otherwise, we're all grown-ups, so we know how to handle that. The other thing is we need to have your details recorded on our register just so we know who is here, and if we need to do any tracing, we know exactly who's been here. But we don't expect to do that, but thank you for complying with those things today. I want to start today, before we sing, I just would like to pray. So let's do that together. Father God, you are a great God. It's a privilege to be here in your house and to worship you today. Lord, all that goes ahead today and all that we are, we give to you. We praise your name and we honour you today. Lord Jesus, bless our worship time as we gather together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing our first song together. God's love to me is wonderful. And this is... Please stand, yes.
God's love to me is wonderful.
Flow of words in these verses, every verse in some ways is just expanding on that core truth God's love to me is wonderful. That's the heart of the message of the song, obviously. But then each verse gives us another glimpse of what all of that means for us. And that's why we celebrate. God's love is wonderful, and we're enjoying His presence with us here this morning. The third verse together.
God's love to me is wonderful. It lights the darkest way. I now enjoy His fellowship. It will last through endless day. My Father doth not ask that I great gifts on Him bestow, but only that I love Him true and serve Him
seated. As we come into a time of prayer, just take some moments to think about those key words. God's love to me is wonderful. It's about God. We've come here to worship Him. He is over all, and He is over all in love and grace and mercy. God's love for me, for each of us here this morning, it's personal. God's love for me. Our Heavenly Father, we are awed as we come into Your presence, and as we ponder the truth of those words we've sung, and as we've worked our way through the verses again, we've been reminded of 1,001 ways in which You show Your love to us, because Jesus is our Saviour and we have put our trust in Him and accept Him to be Saviour, Lord. As we share together this day, we want to bring honour and glory to You. We want that our lives will come more and more in harmony with who You are. And so we ask that Your Spirit will guide us and lead us and bless us during this time. But we also want to pray for those who would normally join us here as part of our worship family this morning. They need Your blessing on their lives just as much as we do, Lord. And Your love for them is just as great. Hallelujah. And so our prayer is that You will be close to them at this time, and they will know Your love, Your grace, Your mercy in the midst of whatever is happening in their lives. And for some, they're difficult times. For others, it's just part of the toing and froing of day-to-day events. And in that toing and froing, we know that around the world, within our Christian family, there are many who are grieving today. The virus hasn't selected from different groups, specific groups. It has attacked worldwide. And we know within our Salvation Army Fellowship and within other churches, there are those families who have lost church members because of this virus. And in their grief, We just pray that your love will be something that's very special to them, because your love transcends time. It lasts for all eternity. We enjoy it today, and we look forward to enjoying it forevermore. May your blessing be upon us then as we spend this time together. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I am going to update you with what's happening in our church at the moment. So, we are hoping to start a learning hub this term. So it's going to be aimed at primary school children, and it starts week two of term one. So we are requesting mentors. So if any of you have any interest in becoming a mentor for children in our learning hub, we're taking expressions of interest. So see me after church and I've got some more information. The requirements are that you have a blue card, that you're available every Wednesday from 3 p.m. till 4:30 during the school term, and a love for children as well. So yeah, just come and see me after church if you have any interest in that. Or if you know someone that may be interested and they're not here, feel free to let them know and pass on that information. Picnic in the Park, third Sunday of each month. 12:30 till 2:30 at Cremunda Park. It is on the 17th of January. So bring your own lunch and we can have lunch together and chat and hang out. It's a really nice afternoon. The Merrill Prayer Breakfast is on at Good Life Church in Budgerim. It will be commencing at 7:30 a.m. We're hoping to have 10 places from our church attend, so if you are interested in that, I was going to say see James, but he's not here, so maybe just send him an email or just see Jan. Yeah, that's fine. Now, on Saturday, January the 23rd at 6:45, we are having a youth revival worship night, and it will be here. So that's with NBC. Salvos will be up here, so yeah, our youth around the area are coming together for a worship night, and it will be held here. So if you know any youth that would like to come along, you're more than welcome to invite them. Okay, so you will... Oh, kids time. We're not going to have the kids come up. We've only got a handful of kids here today, so I'm just going to take the kids out and we'll do a couple of activities together. And if they've had any lost teeth or birthdays, we'll celebrate that out there. But yes, so thank you. And you will now be waited upon for your offering.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day and the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you
Words, have I come back on? Cool. If you need freedom, he's a chain breaker. There's so many words in that. Pain taker, way maker. I'm going to invite Bill Hunter. Come on down, Bill. Now, this has been a work in progress, this interview today, because Bill's been interviewing a few people around. And if you've, just grab a thing. If you've, if you're on Facebook or you've seen, you may have seen an interview that Bill interviewed Richard. Well done. We've been asking Richard. Nah. So Bill gets to talk to him. We need to convince him. Now that you've done that, you need to talk to us. Interviewed James.
Yep.
And this morning, there's an interview with Derek.
Yep.
So we thought we should interview you.
Yep.
Because it's a bit of give and take. Oh, yep. So can you introduce yourself, Bill, just quickly? Give us an idea of who is Bill Hunter.
I'm Bill Hunter. Hi. That's a good hi. Well done.
Yeah.
I'm a Salvation Army pastor's kid, and so I grew up in the Salvation Army. I started a church in the Salvation Army about 10 and a half, 11 years ago, which we'll talk about very, very shortly. I run a first aid training business full time. I'm a head coach of a P&G project, a marathon project for the Salvation Army. What else do I do? I've got a wife, three kids, six grandkids, and I love running.
I'll leave the running all to you. We love walking, but no running. Sorry, that's all. And your running was curtailed for a little while. Have you had something replaced?
I've had two hips replaced. I've got
two metal hips and still running.
I'm just a bionic man, but I'm still running.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I'm not bad for 85 years of age.
Don't look a day look over 45. Well, Bill, you are living or kind of in between, but at the moment, where are you?
That's a good question. I live in Brisbane, in the western suburbs of Mount Ominey, but just recently my wife and I bought a unit at Kings Beach, Caloundra. Yeah.
Yay.
So we're going to do a fair bit of living up here, I believe. So we've been here the last month or so and just loving life up here. So so sort of two homes at the moment.
And a great choice to be here at the moment and avoid the dramas of Brisbane. It's a great idea to be on the coast. Now, tell us a little bit about, you mentioned a church, GSA.
Yeah.
Some people here in the past, I know, have gone down and been part of GSA, God's Sport Arena. Who's been there before? Oh, a couple of hands. Bill, tell us.
A few of them aren't here.
Oh, yeah, a few of them. A few of our great supporters, lovely mates of Bill, are not here today.
Yeah, good on them.
Tell us tell us about God's Sport Arena.
Okay, so about 11 years ago, God moved in my life and said, you have to create a church that's something different. A church that unchurched people like to go to. So God just hit me on the head. It's a bit of a story, but I won't tell the whole story. So I just started this pretty crazy church called God Sports Arena. So we do a whistle for kickoff. We have halftime. We swap sides after halftime. We've got a sin bin. So if you do the wrong thing, you go to the sin bin for 10 minutes, okay, because you've been naughty. So there's heaps of people here that probably go to the sin bin. It's just a church that evolved. God had a plan. I had no idea what the church would look like, but God had a plan. that a lot of broken people would end up at our church. So we get probably 100, 120 people every Sunday night, not quite at the moment because we're not doing it. And most of those people have got recovery backgrounds. So they're recovering from addiction to drugs, gambling or alcohol. A lot of them have been to prison. A lot of them have got a lot of brokenness in their lives. And they just find that the GSA, God Sports Arena, we do it a little bit differently. And I suppose our mantra is to love, encourage and not judge. So you walk into our church, it looks pretty different because a lot of our people have got a lot of tattoos, they've got rings hanging out everywhere. But we want those people to find God. And however we can do that, that's fine. So this church was created so unchurched people would love to come to church and be on a faith journey in a different way.
It reminds me of those three statements.
To love, encourage, and don't judge. And I think most people don't do that very well, including myself. So I try and work on that every day, to love no matter who it is, encourage that person no matter who it is, and don't judge them because what's happened to them, what they've done, what they look like. Don't judge them.
Three great things for all of us, isn't it? Wonderful.
And it's biblical.
And it's biblical. Even better.
Yeah.
No, that's a great idea. Can you tell us then what the current move is and what God's been placing on your heart for this place?
So God moved during that 10 years. He kept saying, you need to start another GSA somewhere. And I'm like, oh, where? You know, where are you going to start it? Where am I going to get the time and the energy and effort and all that sort of stuff? And then just, I don't know how, God just moves. He just does incredible things. And then buying the unit that Kings had already sort of talked about doing a GSA on the Sunshine Coast. So in collaboration with some of the people here at Clowns of Salvation Army, we've decided we're going to start a GSA here on the Sunshine Coast, here at Caloundra Salvos. How good is that? Woo! So we're going to start that on the first Sunday of every month. So we're actually going to kick off, all being well, on Sunday, February the 6th, in this building right here at 4:30. So if you want to come along and see something a little bit different, come along and love people, encourage and don't judge them, and you'll have a fantastic time. A lot of our people that have come through Munya, the Rehabilitation Centre for the Salvation Army and GSA in Brisbane, have moved to the Sunshine Coast. So a lot of them actually commute down to Brisbane to come to GSA, which is crazy. But so why don't we do one on the Sunshine Coast where a lot of those people can actually find God here in an environment which is close to them. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to kick that off. It's not everyone's cup of tea. It's a little bit different. So some people might like it. That's okay. But a lot of people will love it. And I know you've got a lot of people with sort of those backgrounds that will love coming along and helping some of our people and encouraging each other, loving and not judging.
That's great. And the leadership team are very excited to be in partnership with this, and not just to be a place and provide it, but really to support you in that ministry and to be involved where we can. So if that's something that lights a little fire inside of you, makes you feel excited, make sure you talk to Bill, talk to us, get some more information, and we'll be looking forward to that time in February. So maybe you do know of someone and that just sounds like that would be perfect for them. Or maybe you're sitting here going, yeah, still come along on Sundays, that'd be great. And on Sunday night, once a month, then you get to come to GSA and experience freedom, prison-shaking saviour, all of those things that were listed in that. That'd be great. Anything else, Bill?
No, I think God's got a plan for the Sunshine Coast because there's a lot of people that are struggling in life that want to go to church but don't want to go to church, you know what I mean? So this might be a fantastic community outreach, not just for Clowns, but for the Sunshine Coast, to reach out to those people who are struggling, who'd love to find faith or find God but don't know how to do that. So I think God's got a tremendous plan for God's sports ring up here on the Sunshine Coast.
Yeah, that's great. If you are able, would you like to stand, please? And I want to pray for Bill and pray for this ministry of GSA.
Thank you.
God, you are a great God. You're awesome. And we just want to acknowledge your goodness. Lord, all those years ago, you planted this idea and you've been faithful. And GSA has changed lives. You have changed lives through the meaning of GSA and the people that have been there. So God, we pray for more of that. We pray for freedom. We pray for hope. We pray for salvation for everyone who would come. Lord, we just pray that you would put everything in place. The people that need to be here, the people that need to support it, everything that needs to happen, God, we trust you. We trust your hand of providence. And Lord, we give it all to you. Thanks for Bill. We pray for his health and his safety. We pray your protection over his life and your continued guidance. Bless him. Bless his family. And Lord, we're excited about what is ahead. We thank you for your goodness to us. We pray these things and we honour you, God, for being the awesome God. We just want to honour Bill today too, God, and thank you for making him your servant. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a seat, please.
There's a sense in which our next song echoes the theme of not judging. Who are you? We are who God says we are. And we can often put labels on people which really don't reflect what God sees of us. I need to put respect on you before I can even read the first line. Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? That's who we are, someone welcomed by the highest king. Let's join together.
Reading this morning is Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, New International Version, headed Freedom in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare, every man who lets himself be circumcised, that he's obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Amen.
Now, you may remember that last week I talked to you all about being together. We belong together. And this week, Tim was talking to us about freedom in Christ. And he's chosen a passage. This might make some of us feel a little bit uncomfortable because we're talking about circumcision. Don't get hung up on that. I want you to think about these words, freedom and free. Apologies for Tim today. Tim has been in Brisbane, and the requirement is, if you have been in Brisbane in the past, whatever, how many days, that you should isolate. So that's why Tim and a lot of our people are not here today, because of that requirement. So I'm going to give you my kind of cut down, less... I said to Tim, can you explain this to me? Do you want me to talk about all this? But I need to actually get my head around it first. So, you know what? I think I've got my head around it all. And it's kind of Tim's sermon, but it's my own take on Tim's sermon. So this would be good, hey? What comes to mind when you think of this word here? Freedom. Now, that's a bit loaded right now, isn't it? Because we're wondering where our freedom is. And so maybe there's all kinds of things that come to mind about what's happening to us in this place. But maybe you think about this. I'm free to do what I want any old time. I thought that was a song from the 90s, but I've just discovered in my research that the Rolling Stones sang that many years ago. I'm free to do what I want any old time. Maybe that's the idea of being free. Or what about this escaping from oppression and slavery, Braveheart style? Freedom. I was going to say, where's Frank? I need your Scottish accent, Frank. They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom. And maybe, as I said right now, freedom or the lack of it is something that we think about lockdown, about COVID, about all these things happening, about our ability to travel all around the world. The Salvation Army has a vision statement. Caloundra Salvation Army has a vision statement, and it's a direction that we're working towards in 2021, and we have been. No one should do life alone. There is hope and freedom in Jesus. We've talked a lot about hope. We talked about the belonging together last week a little. Today we want to examine this freedom. So Paul's letter to the Galatians is all about freedom. In this book of Galatians, more than 10 times Paul refers to freedom. I think he really wants the Galatians to get the idea that they are free. At the beginning of chapter 5, he writes this: it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We're free from what? Free to do what? Freedom for what? Here's our summary: free from the call of the flesh, free from the restrictions of the law, and free to serve Christ. For that is what we're made to do. That is who we are. That's how we're built. Paul's letter is written to the churches of Galatia, which we can read about in Acts 14 and 15. So if you want to have a hunt through Paul's missionary journeys there, you might find out more about it. And today, if we were looking for where that is, we'd be in Turkey. Has anyone been to Turkey? Has anyone been? I think, Seth, have you been there? Dan's been there. Oh, a few people. Rod, have you been there as well? This letter that was written early on in Paul's missionary experience. And if you read of places like Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, they're the places that he's talking about in Acts, and they're the churches here in Galatia. Now, just as an aside, that passage that we talked about last week was from Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans, if we go along in the New Testament, is the first letter that we get to, but it was actually written later in time. It's put first because it's the longest of the letters. And Paul's book of Galatians chronologically is one of the earlier books that Paul wrote. But there are a lot of the same topics, because Paul is addressing the same problems, the same issues in that society. These young churches were full of newly converted Christians. They'd heard about Jesus from Paul. They were very enthusiastic. They'd abandoned all of their ways of the world. They'd given up on those former things in order to follow Christ. Now, these ways of the world, Paul calls desires of the flesh. And when we're talking about the call of the flesh or being slaves to the flesh, that's what Paul's talking about. And the Greek word he uses, now this is where you know it's Tim's, because I don't really have any interest in Greek words, but the Greek word is sarx. And Paul uses that word to describe all of these carnal desires, all the things of the flesh that can control us. He warns against the indulgence of the flesh, and he says this, "You, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Don't make it all about just satisfying your own desires and doing your own thing." And he goes on to give a very long list of some of these things that can control. Call them the controllers later in the chapter. Now, the Message translation is very colourful in its description. I think it probably gives us a very good picture. And so this is what it says here. "It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Here comes the list. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage." Is that a picture? "Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition." And it goes on, "all-consuming yet never satisfied wants." I love that phrase, all-consuming yet never satisfied. "A brutal temper, an impotence to love or to be loved. Divided homes, divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival." I'll say that one again, that's tricky. "The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, and making enemies of everyone. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community." And he says, I could go on. No, Paul, stop there. We think we get it. And that list is not exhaustive, but you get the idea, don't you? What he's saying. It's very descriptive, but what it is anything that puts our selfish desires first. Anything that gratifies us while at the same time hurting someone else. Any habit or desire that controls us, that takes over. That's the sort of thing that we need to be freed from. This is the sort of life that we must leave behind when we choose to serve Christ instead of serving ourselves. And I don't mean that it's wrong to care for ourselves. We should be caring for ourselves. Yes. But not in a way that affects others or hurts others. Then Paul continues and says, "This isn't the first time I've warned you. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom." There you go, clear. You want to live like that, you will not inherit God's kingdom. When Paul visited them in the first place and shared with them about this freedom that Jesus offers, they became free from the yoke of slavery to the flesh. Now Paul writes, this newfound freedom should not be taken for granted. Yeah, you're freed. You're freed from the flesh. You're free, but if you use your freedom to indulge this flesh, are you really free? Are you free indeed? As we read before, Paul says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then he follows with this, stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You've been freed. Stand firm. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Paul is not just reminding the Galatians about the yoke of slavery to the flesh, but in chapter 5 he's writing to the Galatians about this yoke of slavery to the law. We talked a bit about the law last week. They were embracing this. They changed from one ill-fitting yoke to another. They were slaves to the flesh. They'd taken that yoke off and they'd put on this slavery to the yoke of the law. It makes sense that most of the first Christians that we read about were converts from Judaism, because Jesus and all of his disciples were Jewish. However, when Paul and Barnabas travelled throughout the area of Galatia, the Jewish population didn't embrace this new teaching. They didn't want a bar of it. And that allowed Paul to share the good news to the Gentiles, the local population. But then after Paul left the area, other Jews who converted to Christianity arrived, and here begins the problem. They tried to convince these new Gentile Christians, these baby Christians, that they needed to follow all of the Jewish laws. And that's where we get to this circumcision. These Judaizers, as they were called, claimed that there was a need to not only have the whole circumcision and all of the rules, they needed to observe the special Jewish days, the months, the seasons, the years. And more than that, it was that they needed to have this as their way to be righteous, that they needed to undergo this circumcision as a sign of their commitment to God. These formerly Jewish people expected that the new Christians would follow the letter of the law. But Paul saw a great danger in this. He wrote a strong warning about relying on the need of works to be saved. He says, "Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the law. You who are trying to be justified have been alienated from Christ." He warned them that Christ would be of no value to them, that they would be alienated. It was not because of the act of circumcision, but because of their belief that went with that, that they needed to rely on keeping the law to have any kind of justification. But we are saved by grace. It is God's undeserved favour that reveals our need for him. And it is God who gives us the faith to believe. It's God who does the saving. And relying on circumcision, as was the suggestion here, for salvation, Paul says that they have in fact fallen away from grace. They've fallen away from that. But it's a trap that we can all fall into as well, thinking that God will only love us and only accept us because of what we do. Even coming to the conclusion that we can somehow earn our salvation, that we can be good enough, that we can do enough or please enough people, tick enough boxes, and then maybe that will be enough for God to let us into heaven. Or just as wrongly, that we think that unless we continue to prove ourselves to him, that he will take away his favour from us, remove us from his favour. The good news, of course, is that we don't need to prove ourselves to God. Because through faith, when through faith we receive this forgiveness Jesus offers, we become a child of God. Yes, I am. We are co-heirs with Christ. And Paul says this in chapter 4, "And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir." What a privilege that is, to be called a child of God. Do we sometimes just take that for granted? Yeah, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. How awesome is that? Yeah. How do we stay free then and not put on again this yoke of the slavery of the flesh or of the slavery of the law? How do we instead live as though we really are a child of God? And the answer is by having the indwelling power of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. The flesh will always be in conflict with the Spirit. Each wants the opposite. And so that's a natural thing, to be in conflict. The law will always want to be in control, trying to hem in God's Spirit with its don't touch, don't taste, do this, don't do that. But neither the flesh nor the law are subject to the Spirit of God. Neither the flesh nor the law. When we are led by the Spirit, rather than our lives being about the acts of the flesh or keeping the rules, we can display the fruit of the Spirit, which is, I'm sure, familiar to most of you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It says forbearance in this version, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against these things there is no law. But through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, living by the Spirit, and keeping in step with the Spirit, that we're able to avoid the yokes of slavery of the flesh and of the law. Paul tells us, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Be led by the Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. This law that God gave to his people, the Israelites, is a complex and a harsh law with so many fine print items and pitfalls all through it. But it is through the Spirit that we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. When we are with Christ, when we are united with Christ, we can receive his righteousness. We are in a right relationship with God. And as I said, we become his children. But also, the process of becoming righteous begins. Having been made right with God, the Spirit then transforms us, helping us to live the right way. To live as he would have us to live. To become the person that he has planned for us. Not to earn God's favour, because we are being shaped and moulded as we go to be more like Christ. And with the fruit of Spirit on display, showing that we are indeed becoming righteous. However, the righteousness for which we hope, or as some translations say, the hope of righteousness, it only truly happens when we can enter eternity. It is then that we experience God in his fullness, encountering his righteousness in a way that is only possible in the presence of God, face to face. This week we farewelled Nancy, and we know that Nancy is experiencing that face-to-face righteousness. And if you haven't noticed at the back, there are the flowers that were here from Nancy's funeral and that lovely photo montage. How great will that be, to stand face-to-face? Until then, we rely on God's grace. And we find our fulfillment in Christ. And when we do, the fleshly things and the false expectation of having to win God's favour all fall away. Paul says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. It doesn't matter. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. It is through faith that we are saved. And it's this same God-given faith that allows us to experience God's love for us and to share that love with others. Just as Jesus expressed that love to us when he died, he invited us to shed this yoke of slavery to sin and instead take on the yoke that he offers. In Matthew 11, Jesus calls us. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Anybody weary or burdened? Weak, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Put my yoke upon your shoulders. It might appear heavy at first, but it is perfectly fitted to your curves, the voice translation says. Learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble of heart. When you are yoked to me, says Jesus, your weary soul will find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke of slavery to the flesh, the yoke to the law, is heavy, it's burdensome. It leads to sickness and death, worry and failure. But the yoke that Jesus offers is a yoke of freedom. For my yoke, Jesus says, is easy and my burden is light. It doesn't sound like a hard decision, does it? Death and worry, or a light, easy burden. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. We've been set free to serve him. A perfectly fitted yoke. A yoke that lifts us up. A yoke that matches our curves and suits us to a T. For when we are yoked with Christ, we are the freest. I don't even know if that's a word. The most free. I like it. Freest. that we can be. We find rest, for we have found hope. We no longer need to struggle with life's meaning because it is found in Jesus. Our purpose in Jesus. It's an easy yoke. That word, again in the Greek, means beneficial. When we talk about easy and light, it means beneficial. The yoke of Jesus benefits us. It's a load that sits not so heavily that it drags us down, but is a load that strengthens us and builds us up. A yoke of slavery to flesh, a yoke of slavery to the law. Do you carry one of those yokes? Or do you know this yoke that Christ offers us? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, come to me. He invites you to give him all of your burdens, your anxieties, your cares, your fears, your worries, trials and temptations. He invites you to give him your all. I want to allow you a time to respond to all of that. There's a lot there. And we're going to sing together a song that says, beautiful Lord, wonderful Saviour. In the chorus as we go and we read some of these words, words that we're asking, action words, Lord, take me, mould me, use me, fill me, call me, guide me. In your words, I think it says, hold me, but I've got lead me, walk beside me. Today, as we sing these words together, make this a personal conversation between you and God. And maybe you just want to listen. Or maybe you want to read over the words, pray those words. Maybe there's a particular phrase or a particular word there today that stands out to you. Now, most of us are sitting here at tables, and so it may be that someone that you're sitting with can pray with you. If you feel brave and you want to ask someone while we're singing and as we're reflecting, maybe pray or offer someone with you, can I pray with you? There are so many prayers that we could ask for God in there, but the main one is, God, I don't want to be yoked to slavery. I don't want to be yoked to the flesh. I want to be yoked with you. So we're going to sing this song together, The Potter's Hand. It's in your newsletter there. And as I said, just do what you will during this time and ask God what he wants with you.
Wonderful Savior, mine own for sure.
Father, you have heard the cries of our hearts. You've heard our prayers today. Lord, we thank you that you do hear us. And today we just ask that you answer our prayers. Lord, take us, mold us, use us, teach us, guide us, all those things. Lord, we ask that and we pray this in the precious name of your Son. Amen.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Let's join in singing these marvelous words together.
Is all I ask. Grace that is tender, strong, and sure. Grace for my heart, my mind, my task. Grace that will make my faith endure. Therefore, may the Lord disturb and trouble you. May the Lord set an impossible task before you and dare you to meet it. May the Lord give you strength to do your best. But then, and only then, may He grant you peace. Amen.
Amen.